99.7 DJX. Hi there, Kelly K.
Hello.
When was the last time you went to a club, lived it up, and went out dancing?
Gosh. How long have I been married? 17 years? A while. I would say.
You're not going to say 17 years.
I would say probably 20 years.
It's been 20 years?
Probably. Yeah. It's been a while.
Oh.
Why do you have to say it like that?
Sorry, I didn't.
That was a lot of judgment in that. Oh.
I was thinking it. I didn't know if I said it out loud. Well, you would probably be shocked if you walked into a club in this year.
All right.
Just as this dude was shocked. As he was outed as being an old person at the club there on TikTok. Here, I'll let him explain.
I was dancing at the club last night with this girl, and she was like, you know, it's giving away your age.
Oh, no. What was he doing?
So he was out enjoying himself, and she's like, you know what's giving away your age?
She was like, you keep putting your hands up. But I would do it, too. I'd be like, woo! And she was like, stop putting your hands up.
What?
Oh my gosh, seriously? Putting your hands up when you're dancing means you're old?
Apparently, this is what this person is saying.
And I was like, my mom does that. I'm too old to be in this club.
Oh no.
She says my mom dances that way, puts her hands. How can you not dance without putting your hands up?
That is what I am saying. Listen.
I mean, maybe not the entire time, but there's got to be a moment in the song where like, yeah!
Yeah, exactly. Like, that. You can't not, right? You can't not at some point. In the dancing, like everyone's got their hands down. So what are you doing with your hands?
Listen,
what are we doing?
I understand that I'm not Gen Z, but if you are a Gen Zer and you are listening to the sound of my voice and you are not at least throwing your hands up at least once when you're going out and dancing, you're doing it wrong.
I feel like, yeah, I feel. Is there a demonstration video out there somewhere on TikTok that will show us what we're supposed to be doing with our hands when we dance?
Well, you can get anything on TikTok. So, I mean, there probably is. But
if there's the shaming you video for putting your hands up, there's got to be a "this is what you're supposed to be doing right now" video, right?
Well, this is just a dude in his car recording it and talking about his experience. He wasn't at the club. You didn't hear the thump 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 of the music in the background. I mean, he's just in his car just reenacting what had happened the night before. So,
well, if this information is out there, we're going to need somebody who is currently in the club scene to be able to show us what we're supposed to be doing.
I guess.
Without getting shamed.
I guess it's even more egregious if you clap first.
Oh.
Yeah!
Yeah, no clapping.
Or if your palms face up, you're about to raise the roof. Like,
All right.
Maybe I'm not raising the roof, but I'm throwing my hands up if there is a beat that's about to drop and you got to pump your fist, right?
Yeah, I feel like, well, maybe fist pumping is a complete no-no now, too. I feel like fist pumping is bad.
I can't imagine putting fist pumping in that same category.
Well, your arms are up, so I would say yes.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, how can you put fist pumping into that same category when you feel the beat about to drop, and then it drops, and you jump it up and down, and your hands are up in the air?
You're just supposed to be feeling the beat low.
You're just supposed to be just sitting there going. Okay.
There is a zone that you're supposed to be feeling the beat, and it's lower. Apparently.
Yeah, just rolling through, living life. And
now listen, I will tell you a place where it is fine to raise your hands up, and that is church. When you're feeling the music at church, and no, it's not that
so,
kind of
so
music
like
at church.
This music at church.
No, that's not playing.
Or
at
the club.
No,
you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me when this rolls into the club and you're there on the dance floor and DJ Lil Jon goes, you don't jump up and go.
Turn down for what?
Boom!
Yeah,
you're up in the air.
I would.
Yeah,
I would. You would. But apparently, everybody would be staring at us,
they'd
saying,
just be
"Oh,
like,
look at the old people in the club.
Look at Grandma and Grandpa over
that
there.
Precious.
Hey, careful! You guys might need to take an ibuprofen after this." Not because of your hangover, but because your joints are going to be sore.
Your
all right.
Joints.
All right. Hey, we'll tweet out the video if you wanted to see it at Ben and Kelly Show. All right, get you one here, Kelly K.
This was crazy. This mom in Utah noticed something looked a little odd when she was watching her son, little Benny. He was rolling around in his crib, 6 months old, watching on the video baby monitor. Took him first to the pediatrician and then the ophthalmologist, where tests showed he had a rare cancer called retinoblastoma.
Oh, jeez.
The doctor that treated him said it's curable in 95% of patients if it's caught early enough.
She noticed that there was a bright glow in one eye, but in the other eye, it was just black. There was an absence of that glow, and it seemed to persist no matter, you know, Benny's position. Benny is doing very well. He's finished his chemotherapy. We've still done consolidation, local therapy, that'd be laser. But he's doing quite well and has a very good prognosis from both cure as well as having a stable eye exam and keeping the eye and then trying to maximize vision moving forward.
Isn't that nuts? Like when you see the video and you can see the video, it's on our website, WDJX.com. But yeah, there's like one eye is glowing like white and the other one isn't.
Mm.
And it didn't matter, you know, he was rolling around. Didn't matter, you know, it wasn't like an angle thing. It just, that was persistent. She's like, that's odd. So she knew to go take him into the pediatrician and then ophthalmologist and boom, gets this diagnosis. Just insane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just had no idea that was a thing. And now maybe you do to kind of know when you're watching your baby kind of rolling around on those video baby monitors, you just look for something like that. Make sure nothing looks a little odd like that and could end up saving your baby's vision. You can see the video, WDJX.com.
At the Ben and Kelly Show.com.
Leading up to Halloween every year, we always get your stories of the unexplained, the supernatural, the odd, if you will. We'll hear from Linda and a very cheeky ghost.
Uh-huh.
Dana first. This starts in Dayton.
Okay, I was staying at a hotel in Dayton, Ohio. Never been there before. And I was laying there trying to go to sleep, and I hear some guy, not, can't see him, mind you, tell me that he was murdered and murdered.
Wait. He told you this?
Yes. He told me. First name, last name, his age, and he told me that his wife needs to know that he's still around.
Wow.
And I look up this guy 15 miles away. This guy was murdered, and it was the 2-year anniversary of his murder.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Did you ever get in contact with his wife?
Yes, I did. She didn't respond, but it was because she was implicated in his murder.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. So that's why she needed to know he was around, because he was mad she killed him.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
Dana, that's wild.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I've never experienced anything like it before. It is absolutely true. I tell people, like, you can't understand this until you experience it. Like, somebody doesn't give you their first name, their last name, their age. This guy was, like, in his 30s.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of information from a ghost.
Sure. Dana, thank you for the story. That was good.
No problem.
Oh, my goodness. That sends chills.
We got a text from B.
Yep, she says, if you go to Southern Indiana Ghost Hunters Investigations, click on Charlestown. You'll see the investigation of where I used to live and had to move.
Mm.
You'll hear the voices and see something at the end you won't believe.
Oh.
After we left, I found 22 prior owners since 1986. After I sold the house, 7 more owners.
Wow, 22 people lived there since 1986?
Yes, before she did.
Okay.
And then after she left, sold the house, 7 more people. She said, I had a painting come off a wire hung back, got me right on top of the head. We'd hear conversations. I was poked in the shoulder. My husband and I both saw things moving on their own. Lights coming on after you shut them off. Sounds of glass breaking at 3 a.m., but nothing's there.
Mm.
Happened for several months. They did body mapping with dots. Okay. Someone was in the hall when there was no one there.
Ooh.
They came back the next day at their request.
Oh my
gosh.
That stuff, man. That stuff is just crazy. A little wild. Wild.
Yeah.
Linda, what happened to you while you were in the shower?
Okay, I was in a shower. We had just moved into a brand new house. I was in the shower. My husband was working overnight. So when I went to take a shower, I'm all sudsed up, doing my thing, and next thing I know, something smacked me clear through the shower curtain and onto my butt. And it scared the bejesus right out of me.
Oh my gosh!
Wait,
oh yeah. I called him at work and said, you get home now. We're moving out.
Oh gosh, yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, like, of all the people that tell us these stories, you're the ones just like, I'm out.
Oh yeah, I'm gone.
So, Linda, you had a frisky ghost.
Oh yes, I had something there.
Well, Linda, thank you for sharing us your story.
Well, thank you so much, honey.
So wait, the ghost is, I guess, the ghost just needs a little pat-pat every now and then? I don't know.
I just smacked her on the butt she was showering. That's too sassy. And thank you. Again, I am so proud of her for saying, I'm out.
Yeah.
Called her husband immediately. We're gone.
Yep. We're not sticking around for this. All right. There you go. Horror week here. If you've got a story, we'd love to hear it. 502-795-1997. All right. This is a setting the bar story. It's an example of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in. So I know I've said on the show that the world is my toilet. I didn't mean it quite like this. So if you can manage to make it through the day without relieving yourself into beer when you work at a brewery, you're doing okay. Yeah, so this, there's this video that is showing this dude. Apparently, he's dressed as a brewery worker there in China at Tsingtao Brewery, which is, I mean, that's a famous brand there, famous Chinese beer there. And so anyways, he's dressed as a worker. He climbs into a container and appears to go number one onto a batch of malt.
Do they not have bathrooms?
Well, they do, so this would obviously be either a disgruntled employee or a prank or something like that. So they are, quote, investigating, and they continue to increase management efforts to ensure product quality and all of that. And so, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, as soon as you realize this beer may be tainted, that, I mean, you got to throw away the entire batch, right?
Well, yes. This is not going to be one of those instances where we slap a manager's special sticker on it and say, half off pee beer. That is not what we do here.
To be fair, though.
No.
To be fair.
No.
When you think about how many thousands and thousands of gallons that are being produced and the amount that was probably contaminated and the amount that was, I mean, could you tell?
No.
I still wouldn't want to knowingly drink beer that some worker in China decided to relieve himself in, but
we are tossing that whole thing out. We are cleaning the vat that it's brewed in. Yeah, we are, we are, that is, okay.
Yeah, so right now, it looks like just the malt, a batch of malt was contaminated. So
okay, yeah, we're throwing all that out.
It wasn't like he did it into a, like a vat of a liquid beer.
Almost done beer?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But
anyways, although I'd probably blend in.
As I said before on this show, the world is my toilet. I didn't really mean it like this.
No.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without relieving yourself into beer when you actually work at the brewery, you're doing okay.
Okay. Good note. Do they need to now maybe post a sign? Maybe because they didn't post a sign before.
Yeah.
Like no peeing in the beer.
Yeah, this is not for your bathroom.
Okay.
That's your Setting the Bar story.
Louisville is getting pranked.
Oh my God, who set you off to this?
Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Greg reached out. Hey, Ben and Kelly, got a phone tap for you. my girlfriend loves to drag me clothes shopping with her because she, quote, needs my opinion when she's trying on clothes.
Mm.
I can hardly tell the difference anyway, and I always say she looks great, of course.
Of course.
But I'd really rather be golfing or pretty much anything else, LOL.
Jeez.
Can you help?
Yeah, so William Hots and Pepper just trying to help Greg out of a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Chris, his girlfriend, to your phone tap.
Hello.
Hi, is this Chris?
Yes. Who's this?
Hi, Chris. William Hots and Pepper. I'm a friend of Greg's.
Oh. Okay. Greg actually isn't home right now.
Oh. Oh, well, that's fine. I was actually calling to chat with you.
Oh, really? About what?
Well, Greg and I were chatting at the office about our significant others, right? Well, he talked about you, and I talked about mine. And anyway, he mentioned that you guys were planning to hit the outlet malls.
Oh, yeah. We were just going to get some new outfits at
Yeah, so he said that I should maybe tag along. You know, I'm really great at helping women pick out clothes.
Wait, he just invited you to come with us?
What? Not exactly. I mean, he was saying he always feels like kind of dead weight when he goes shopping because he doesn't know enough about clothes. Says he's not really any help at all.
No, not at all. I love his opinion.
Right, right. Well, I mean, Greg kind of suggested that maybe, possibly, I should maybe go with you instead. That way, I mean, he could go golfing and you could still shop.
No offense. I'm sure you're great and everything, but I don't even know you, so why would we go shopping together?
Well, it's because I'm great at it. I mean, I actually worked at the Gap for a couple years. I even studied design at community college. I mean, plus, I promise I'll be honest and tell you if something makes your butt look big. I mean,
oh my God.
I'm a good catch.
Oh, okay, look. I am so sorry that Greg made plans with you, but I'm not comfortable with this. I can't believe that he would set me up with some stranger just so he can go golfing. I mean, that's selfish.
Oh, Chris, kind of hurts a little bit right there in the heart. But just because we haven't met doesn't make me a stranger, right? I mean, I was kind of looking forward to this until you started being a little bit rude.
Oh, I'm not trying to be rude. I just can't believe this.
Well. The pain just hasn't gone away. I just can't believe it either. I'm just trying to make a new friend, do something nice, and you're yelling at me.
Yelling? I'm not yelling. Look, I'm sorry, okay? This isn't your fault. It's Greg's fault.
Oh, that's a true statement, Chris. More right than you actually know.
I'm sorry. What do you mean?
I mean... This isn't his co-worker, William Hots and Pepper. It's Ben Davis and Kelly Kay calling from 99.7 DJX. And this is a phone tap.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he did.
Actually, you know what, Chris? I was completely lying. He actually can't wait to go shopping with you.
Oh, my God. I must sound like a total bitch.
Oh, my God. No, you're fine. You're great. I love it.
No way.
He wants to go shopping with you. He does.
He does. It just. He also really would prefer to go golfing.
But he also really wants to go shopping with you.
He loves you, and you look great in everything. You make good choices.
That is your phone tap.
Okay.
99.7 DJX. Do this. Kelly Kay.
Hero bus driver. Oh, my goodness. So Raquel Radford Baker at first thought that a 7-year-old boy was going to be sick when she pulled up to an elementary school there in Dallas. Turns out Preston Bell was just choking on a quarter.
Mm.
So as soon as she realized that he couldn't breathe, she got him off the bus and performed the Heimlich maneuver on him.
He appeared to be sick as if he needed to throw up. I opened the door. I said, go ahead and throw up. And he turned back to me and looked like he was in trouble with breathing. He can't die in my arms. I have to save his life. God help me.
I think she's my hero because she saved my life.
Aww.
Oh, Oh, my goodness. And so the school honored her, and then Preston's mom was able to tearfully thank her in person. And she said, yeah, it's the first time in 17 years of being a school bus driver she's ever had to do anything like that. But she was trained, and she was ready. And you can see the video. Yeah, they had surveillance video on the bus. You can see kind of all of this go down at WDJX.com.
With all of the attention the past couple weeks, all the bombshells that have been dropped about Britney Spears' memoir, today's the day it's released. But then just yesterday, this cool like little video of her auditioning for, do you remember the movie The Notebook?
I mean, yes. And we'd kind of heard this story was out there that she auditioned for the role that Rachel McAdams got opposite Ryan Gosling, and now the audition has been unearthed.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Daily Mail released this audition, I guess, tape of Britney doing some lines with Ryan off camera, but doing some lines with Ryan. And apparently, the directors liked it so much, they had her ahead of people like Claire Danes, Scarlett Johansson, Jessica Biel. Like, they were impressed.
Yeah, it came down to her and Rachel.
Yeah, yeah, and here's that clip.
Noah, I'm so confused. It may not seem like it, but I really am. For 7 years, no matter what I did, I couldn't get you out of my mind. And then I met Lon, and I told him I'd marry him, and I want to marry him. I really do, but then I saw your picture in the paper, and I knew I had to see you again, because we never really finished things, not really. And now I'm here, and it's like, I feel so much, and all these adulted feelings have come back, and I don't know, but I still love Lon, and I'd never break off our marriage. I would never do that.
I'll tell you, I feel like she was channeling Jason Alexander, her high school sweetheart,
who
she ended up getting married to for, what,
55 hours? Yeah. What is the matter with you? That is not who she was thinking about.
I feel, well, she's a Southern Belle. That's exactly who Rachel McAdams was.
That is not her Ryan Gosling.
Her Ryan Gosling was Jason Alexander.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's 100%
it is not. It was not.
It's a cool audition. You can kind of see the behind the scenes of all that. But we've got it posted for you up at WDJX.com. But yeah, that was rolling all around the internet yesterday.
Yeah, now the original video that I posted, I had to switch it out because that is no longer available. Like, I'm wondering if she caught wind of it. Some people are just like, nope, take it down, take it down, take it down. So, but that one, but there is another one I found that's up there.
I was going to say, I saw it all over Twitter. It's still rolling up on Twitter, too.
Yes, so, yeah, but some of the YouTube videos have been taken down. So, yeah. Well, you can see it. It's up there right now at WDJX.com.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
All right, let's see if we can get some help here. I know you guys have had a few of these kinds of issues, and I wanted to jump in because I honestly don't want to put other friends in the middle. Mm. I've been best friends with Carrie, in quotes, for 10 years. We clicked as soon as we met, and for the longest time, she was the yin to my yang. Then she started dating a guy, and she went MIA for about 2 years. As soon as they broke up, she was back in my life. Now, I forgave her for her absence, and things seemingly fell back into place. Then a few years later, I met my now boyfriend at a party Carrie threw. They worked together. Mm-hmm. I've tried to stay in her life, but because I don't want to disappear into a relationship. But Carrie started putting up a wall after I started dating him. And it's gotten to the point where we don't speak. She doesn't invite me to girls' nights. And she will criticize my relationship with my boyfriend to my boyfriend when they're at work.
Oh, jeez.
So should I try to talk to her? Or should I just, at this point, cut the cord? Thanks for any advice you can give, Chelsea.
That's always tough when you have what you think is a lifelong friend. One of those friends that, you know, you've had such history with and everything.
Yeah, you're ride or die.
And things happen. Life happens. People, they come in and out of your life, and maybe the season of Carrie has come to an end.
Yeah, that's exactly what Kim is saying on Facebook. I'd cut the cord, but she'd get a piece of my mind first, especially when she's bad-mouthing you to your own boyfriend.
I mean, and if you cut the cord, know that the bad-mouthing is not going to stop.
Oh, no, that would probably ramp up, especially, you know, she is still going to have an opportunity to do that because they work together.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you have had to juggle a friend who is a little bit more, it almost sounds like she's needy, like she needs all of your attention, you know?
Well, but she didn't when she disappeared, you know, to begin with her boyfriend.
But it's on her terms.
Exactly. And so now I think maybe she still feels a little hurt from mm-hmm. being confronted about that. And so she's kind of now over the top projecting that onto Chelsea, even though Chelsea isn't behaving the same way. Carrie's kind of making her feel like, yes, you are. And so that's why I'm treating you like this.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I maybe talking to your boyfriend is another way to go about this. Like, hey, obviously she's hearing it from her boyfriend because
right.
he's telling her that, hey, by the way, Carrie's
saying.
Yeah, I was gonna say doesn't seem to be liking us as a thing, which would make it awkward for him in his work environment, which is completely another topic altogether.
Well, exactly. You shouldn't be talking about that stuff at work.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let us know if you have a story about this same situation, because I don't think it's necessarily unique in the whole friends and having needy friends who are just you're needing to have that sort of that tough conversation. So
I don't know if I'm calling Carrie needy because she keeps lashing out. Like Chelsea is the one that wants to make sure that their relationship stays intact and gets, you know, equal time. She's not trying to, you know, do what happened before when Carrie was dating someone and just completely disappeared. Like she's mindful of it. And so, I think maybe do we have a heartfelt relation or talk and just say, hey, I am trying to keep our relationship together because it matters to me. But then, you know, imagine how I feel when I hear from my boyfriend, you're talking trash about me to him.
What I say, I mean, like emotionally needy, like she needs to have Chelsea's 100% attention on her all the time. And when there is something that comes in between of that, like a boyfriend, then she is pouting and is not getting her way. It's not getting that attention. So she's lashing out. That was what I was meaning. But anyways, yeah. So obviously Kelly and I we have many different avenues to take. What's yours? 502-795-1997. It's group therapy. All right, group therapy. Chelsea's been best friends with her friend Carrie for about 10 years. They've been encountering some issues. First, it was Carrie's boyfriend where she just kind of ghosted Chelsea for 2 years. And now it's Chelsea who has the boyfriend and Carrie is shutting her out, kind of bad-mouthing her behind her back and to her boyfriend.
Yeah, she's just kind of assuming that Chelsea's going to do the same thing, but Chelsea's very mindful of that and is trying not to let her relationship affect their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Carrie's throwing up some walls. And the biggest thing that a lot of people are focusing on is the fact that Carrie and Chelsea's boyfriend work together. And
mm-hmm.
Carrie is bad-mouthing Chelsea to her boyfriend.
Mm.
Like, what kind of a friend does that?
This is true.
And on the text line, Jessica said, I'd cut the cord. Unfortunately, Carrie doesn't sound like a very good friend. She sounds selfish. She was fine with disappearing to do her own thing when she was dating someone. Now that she's not, and Chelsea is, seems like she's jealous, which all adds up to the fact that she's only concerned about herself. And as we get older, some friendships can change or fade. That's okay, because we can change as we grow up, too. Sometimes you just outgrow people.
Yeah. This, as I said earlier, this may be an era or the season of Carrie is coming to a close. Kiwi, what's your theory?
Hey, Ben. Yeah, maybe Carrie's got a thing for this guy. She invited him to her party.
Oh.
Now her friend's with him, so maybe she wants to badmouth her friend so she can be with this guy.
You think it's all a ruse just to move in on her man?
Exactly.
That's
all right,
a theory.
There you go.
That could very well be. That could be absolutely. It would make sense in this scenario. It would.
Uh-huh. I mean, she invited him to her party, and then her friend ends up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's got a thing for him.
Kiwi, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, actually, there are several of those theories rolling around. Jessica on Facebook says, am I the only one who thinks that maybe Carrie has a thing for Chelsea's boyfriend?
Yep, Justin thinks so too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But you know what? A lot of people are saying, listen, time to sit her down and talk, especially if you think that the relationship is worth trying to save.
Right.
And, you know, maybe if she realizes how she's been behaving is so wrong and she cares about the relationship the way you do, she'll be willing to, you know, see it through your eyes and change her behavior. But a lot of people are saying, listen, cut the cord. Anybody that's going to be trashing you to your own boyfriend, you don't want that kind of person in your life.
Yeah, but we don't know how important this friendship is to you. But that being said, yes, maybe she is showing you her true colors here. And maybe that season of Carrie has come to a close. But that's just what we said. Hopefully you'll get and you can see the Facebook post up at Ben and Kelly Show. If you want to weigh in or chime in, you're more than welcome to. But yeah.
Yeah. One more point is that your boyfriend needs to set a boundary that the next time that she tries to trash talk you to him, he needs to shut that down.
Yeah, good point. All right. Well, hey, good luck. Keep us posted. That is group therapy. It's Horror Week on 99.7 DJX. Your stories of the unexplained, the supernatural, the unknown leading up to Halloween. We'll start with one from a listener who submitted this to us via text message.
Yeah. Her name is Asia. She said, I was about 9 years old and we had just moved in with my new stepdad. Mm-hmm. We'd been there for a month or two, but we still had huge boxes piled up in the spare bedroom that was intended to be my little brother's nursery, just a couple of months old at the time. My mother and I were washing dishes with my little brother in a high chair behind us in the kitchen. My little brother was screaming, crying the entire time. Couldn't figure out what was going on with him, so Mom figured it was just teething. Then all of a sudden, we heard something crashing in the spare bedroom, and it was the boxes that had been there for weeks. All of them had fallen over. We think nothing of it. We go back to washing dishes together. My brother, still behind us in the high chair, crying his head off. Mm-hmm. A few minutes later, all of a sudden, my brother stopped crying, and my mom and I turn around and look at him, and his high chair came back to the ground.
What?
Little brother's floating in the high chair. Floating. Levitating. Ooh, should we be playing Dua Lipa levitating? No, the little baby. In the high chair, floating, comes back down to the ground.
Okay.
Goodness gracious.
At least the spirit was gentle.
She says, I have so many more stories from that house. But that one, I think, probably takes the cake. First of all, the box has been sitting there for weeks. Decide to just all tumble over by themselves.
Uh-huh.
And then, baby brother coming back down to the ground in the high chair.
Oh my gosh.
Nope. Nope. Nobody, nope, nope. When you start lifting the baby, we're out.
Yeah, that's like a scene out of a movie.
Yeah, 1,000%. Well, that's like exactly like the scene from one of the Paranormal Activity movies where the baby was in the crib.
Yeah.
And you see it like levitating. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, 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 and nope.
Well, to be fair, the babies are lightweight and they're a little bit less weight than an adult, so.
Benji, we don't need to be levitating anybody. I'm out. I'm out when that starts to happen. Nobody, nope, nope.
All right, it's Horror Week here on 99.7 DJX. One of my favorite times of the year, Kelly. It's Horror Week here. When we explore the unknown, the unexplained, the supernatural, we'll start with Katie, who has a story about her kids. Yes, another story about kids. And then we'll get to Patrick's closet of horror. Katie, you first.
The weirdest thing that happened was we were sitting in bed. It was nighttime. Mm-hmm. The kids were already in their room, in their rooms asleep. From our bed, you can see both of their doors. We're sitting there and out of nowhere, like it's completely silent. And I hear, Mama. My kids would not yell for me in the middle of the night.
Oh my
gosh.
They
would always, they will just get up and come to me if they need me.
Sure.
One's 12 and one's 7. Like the 7-year-old, obviously the 12-year-old doesn't call me Mama. He says Mom.
Yeah.
So we knew it wasn't him.
Oh,
so we just like both stopped and looked at each other. And he's like, don't answer it.
You ignored it? You didn't ask what's up?
Oh, Lord, no. Like, you don't interact with them. That's a bad idea. That's just encouraging stuff.
Okay.
About 5 minutes later, we heard mom.
Okay.
But again, the 12-year-old would never yell for me. But it's almost like whatever it was, tried both of the kids and what they would have called me, see if I would respond or get up. And nope, we just ignored it, went to sleep.
Was it like a call? Like you both, you and your husband heard it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Man.
That is crazy. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate that.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even with these.
All right, now, Patrick, tell us yours.
When I was a little kid, me and my family and I, we lived in a very old house. Me and my brother actually slept upstairs. And upstairs, you turn the corner and go downstairs to a cubby hole at the bottom of the steps. We turned it into like a closet where you could hang coats and whatnot.
Sure.
So this is one of the main things that happened. Countless other things happened, but this is the one that really stuck with me. Middle of the night, I wake up. Don't know why, but I feel like something like woke me up. Obviously, a little kid wakes up in the middle of the night and wants his mom and dad.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, yes.
Turns, they run down the steps, and I look into the cubbyhole, and I just see a shadowy figure. I don't know what it was, but I was scared out of my mind. So I ended up saying the heck with it, and I ran down the steps to go to my mom and dad because their bed was right around the corner as soon as you get off the steps. Mm-hmm. When I turned to go down the steps, I really don't like telling the story, something literally grabbed me and pulled me into the coats.
What?
I blacked out. I don't remember what happened in the coats, but when I came to, my mom and dad were over me, and my mom and dad were like, is everything all right? Because they apparently heard me scream.
Yeah.
I don't even remember screaming. And all I remember is waking up with them over me, and I actually had like lashings on my back.
Oh my gosh, Patrick.
Yeah. So, and we actually did some research later on. The house that we lived in was actually like owner of slaves.
Mm.
And
oh my gosh,
it was a lot. And apparently, the cubby hole used to be a stairway down to the basement where they used to keep slaves. Apparently,
oh my gosh,
oh wow.
And they closed it off and just like boxed it in, and we just used it for coat racks. But that's what it was used for.
So how long did you end up staying in that house after that incident? I'm assuming that's the craziest thing that actually happened there, right?
Yeah, me and my brother both had countless things that happened to us. Nothing as extreme as what happened to me. But we didn't have a lot of money. So we actually had to stay there for about another year.
Well, I can understand why you don't like saying that story. That's
well, yes. What did your parents say? Did they see? They obviously saw the marks on your back, right?
Yeah, I told them, like, what happened, like, what I remembered happened. And my dad actually had one of our church priests come in and just kind of, like, say a prayer over
right.
me.
Yeah,
over
right, yeah. Stuff.
It didn't stop it. Nothing that extreme ever happened again, but I mean, just odd and end little things like toys moving and coats in the coat rack moving and noises. But
wow, oh, Patrick, thank you for sharing. That is
crazy.
Yep.
No problem. I don't tell that story a lot, but I kept hearing stories. I just wanted to get it out there.
Wow.
I mean, the toys moving by themselves and the coats moving by themselves would be enough. But man,
he was physically grabbed and pulled into the closet is insane.
I mean, I get that they couldn't afford to move out, but oh my goodness. Like, yeah, I don't, well, that is super scary. So thank you again for bringing that back up. I know that's not easy for him to talk about, even now.
If you'd like to contribute, it's Horror Week, 502-795-1997. We'll take your calls and your stories on the way on 99.7 DJX. At Ben and Kelly Show, great way to get a hold of us online. Got this message from Teresa.
Yeah, she said, hey, Ben and Kelly, my good friend recently became my boss. Prior to this, we would joke around, have a lot of fun, even spend time together on the weekends. But since she's become my boss, however, I've noticed her behaving a little differently. I don't feel as comfortable talking to her at work. She's taken the boss thing pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad that our relationship is probably changing.
Mm-hmm.
What can or should be done in this type of situation. Should I talk to her about it, or should I just let it go and accept that our friendship, as it was at least, is probably a thing of the past?
Get transferred. Ask her to transfer you. So she's not your direct boss. I mean, if that's not possible,
if that's a possibility,
that may be the easiest thing to do, is to make it so she is not your direct boss. Because, yeah, I mean, that can certainly be tough on a relationship, because, you know, she's got to do boss things, and that sometimes isn't, you know, it's like Michael Scott wanted to be everybody's friend and also the boss, and that caused obviously a sitcom of comedy of errors, right?
Exactly.
Right.
But, you know, she's got to be now aware of the other employees, and she doesn't want to be seen as maybe showing favoritism to Teresa. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so how do you, can you flip the switch from, okay, at work, we got to kind of chill out on the friendship, but then we can still hang out like we normally did on the weekends? Like, is that possible? Like, that's got to be pretty difficult to wear the different hats.
Who has been in this situation where you are now the boss over your friend? And what would you suggest as the boss she do? You know what I mean? That's what I would love to hear is from someone in that situation, 502-795-1997. But I mean, if you can try to, like, and she would be sympathetic of you asking to transfer out of that area if that's possible. I don't think that would be anything that should be, you should be worried about from a friendship standpoint. But thinking about what you can do with, you know, having that conversation with her is going to be a tough one, because she's in a boss or a leadership position.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to be. Yeah. She's going to have to do what she has to do. Right.
Yeah.
So, that can be tough.
Well, and then, you know, make sure that you're still on your game at work, so that she doesn't have to have like a difficult conversation of, you know, why you're not performing well at work. That would be difficult, right?
Yeah, because if she had to fire you, that would be no good.
That would be the worst. Yeah, I don't think there's coming back from that.
that would not be a good way to keep the friendship.
Hard not to have hard feelings over stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I think first thing, you got to try to get a transfer. And if you don't want to see her in that way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't, I guess, respect her in that way. I
know it's tough because you're used to your dynamic being one way, uh-huh, and now it's got to change. And that's sad, because I know you're kind of mourning the loss of that friendship that you have, because it's had to change due to other circumstances.
And I'm sure she's feeling the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe if you just sit down, honestly, just say, listen, I really value our friendship, but I realize,
what can we do here?
Yeah, it's got to be a little different at work. So I don't know if it's as extreme as you go find somewhere else to work so you don't have to have that dynamic pulling at your friendship, or what, you know, I don't know if that's a possibility. But yeah, it's got to be, she's got to, you know, behave now a certain way around you at work.
And she is in a leadership position, and she's also in a problem solving position. So it's like, hey, you know what? Here's a problem. Why don't you solve this for me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if she cares as much about the friendship as you do, she wants to try to figure out a way to make it work, too.
For sure. All right. Well, hey, good luck with that, Teresa. And hopefully, you know, it all works in your favor. Again, if you want to suggest anything, you can always text 502-795-1997. There are several people chiming in on text message who are sympathetic to Teresa's situation, where she and her really good friend, their dynamic changed because her really good friend became her boss at work. M checks in and says, I was in the same position as this girl whose friend became her boss. My best friend became my boss. And while we were a dream team for work, it was really hard on our friendship because I was held to a higher standard than everyone else.
Oh.
She was harder on me because we were friends. Also, I was expected to cover for her in situations which put me in a bad spot.
Oh, gosh.
It only lasted maybe 6 months, and once positions changed, things improved. But it was a tough period, so hopefully her friend is more receptive and willing to discuss. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I think once the situation where your friend isn't your direct boss changes, I think that's when it will improve, because that dynamic is going to be hard. And I could almost see exactly what, you know, our listener there just explained happening to Teresa, where her friend's almost harder on her because she doesn't want people to think that she's playing favorites.
Exactly. Elena said, I'm in a very similar situation. My best friend actually just became my boss.
Mm.
Me and her have a mutual understanding, though, that there are certain boundaries that we need to keep at work, and there's information that stays with her. I do feel our relationship at work has changed, but I also respect her enough to realize that's normal. But outside of work, I don't feel like things are different.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they're figuring out a way to navigate it.
That's like, you know, all right, when I scream at you because of this, know that I don't mean anything.
I still love you.
But it's to send a message to all these other Yahoos that you're working with.
Uh-huh. Gosh, well, it's just all depends on, like, your personal, you know, friendship and the way that you interact, I guess, before this new dynamic happened. But I think if you just sit down and say, listen, I want to figure out a way to make this work because, you know, I really love our friendship and I don't want that to change. But I realize at work things are a little different with the hierarchy, and I have to respect that. But, you know, how do we best move forward knowing that there's a little something different at work?
Unless she has to sit you down and fire you. Don't let the professional things that happen at work, like,
yes, don't think that you can slack off because your bestie's
exactly
with the boss.
I'm not going to get fired. She's my best friend.
I can just hang out.
Right. All right. Well, hey, Teresa, appreciate you reaching out, and good luck with that. It's time for a Set of the Bar segment. Kelly?
That's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
So the backstory on this is completely, or is not completely known. All right. Optics, though, pretty bad. If you can manage to make it through the day without trying to calm your dog by petting it when you're on this airline, then you're doing okay.
And well, that doesn't sound bad.
No, not at all. You're probably thinking, well, of course. All right, whatever. Well, this woman was on this flight out of Colorado, was actually kicked off the plane before takeoff because she was petting her dog. And apparently that is against policy, because the flight attendant had told her that the carrier needed to be completely closed while boarding during the flight, and while deplaning, the dog kept whining, so the woman started petting it through the mesh netting. She hadn't opened it up, calmed the dog down, but that's when the flight attendants got her kicked off the flight. So there's actually, yes, I know, there's like video of this. When it starts, she would have already been asked to leave. And she's kind of packing up the dog and the rest of her stuff. And the guy filming it was just another passenger.
No, I'm not going to have you touch a thing of mine. You are rude. You are a mean person. And I will never fly Southwest again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So you know, they're like, hey, can we help you get anything? And she's like, no. I'm having to get off the plane. No, absolutely not.
Come on, baby girl.
We wish you the best of luck, honey.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. This is ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, and so even the people around her were like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
It's not like you even had the dog out. Petting it. Should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. He's not talking to the woman who got kicked off. He was talking to the flight attendant. Yeah, for sure. So, again, the entire backstory on this, but...
But judging by the people around her, it didn't seem like this was a justified kicking her off the flight.
Yeah, it didn't seem that way. That's for sure. So
she wasn't
causing
a scene. She wasn't being crazy. The dog wasn't out of the carrier.
I know. So
wow.
All in all, just kind of bad optics on that one. It's you're setting the bar story here on 99.7 DJX. All right, you ready to learn some fun things?
I don't know.
Well, how about...
Listen, yesterday I left that segment feeling like I wanted to go back in time to where before that happened.
This time you'll leave this segment wanting to find a certain fragrance.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is it a good fragrance?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, God.
It's your stupid fact of the day on the way next on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah.
99.7 DJX, good morning. Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Time for your stupid fact of the day. Find some things on the internet, run it through the verification process, bring them to you as fact.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
So there was a study conducted that considered 30 different fragrances to determine which scents had the biggest effect on arousal in men.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Listen, this was not something that was self-reported. They weren't like, hey, tell us how this, you know, is. They observed it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Is this like a, could this turn into like an advertisement for like a perfume?
I don't know, but they found the most stimulating combination was lavender and pumpkin pie.
Lavender and pumpkin pie? Okay, now that we know that, somebody's got to go now make a perfume or a scented candle.
Well, if you've got a lavender scented candle and you're making pumpkin pie, that's all you need.
That's all. Okay, so you can organically just create.
Yeah, why don't you just create the two scents yourself? Doesn't have to be one scent. Could be multiple scents, and man, boom!
Well, but I'm talking about
your guy's ready for action.
If you're an entrepreneur and you want to make some money, this might be the recipe, right?
Second is a combination of black licorice and donuts.
Ew, really? The black licorice?
Yeah, the anise.
How? All right.
I didn't say anus. I said anise. The anise. It's anise. The black licorice and a donut.
Where it starts to get awkward.
Now listen, if you think your cranberry scent is going to lure all the boys to the yard, it's not. That's the least arousing smell.
Really?
Yep. Cranberry. Least arousing.
All right.
So you got to rethink that,
Kelly. What about
like
a florally scent or a fruity, florally? Nothing?
No.
Okay.
So the most stimulating combination, lavender and pumpkin pie.
What about chocolate?
I don't know, Kelly.
That might do it for me.
But what will it do it for your guy?
Yeah, I don't. That's the kicker.
That's the kicker. And that is your stupid fact of the day.
Okay.
Grandma's house was always special. I knew it.
Stop with Grandma's house.
I knew why I liked going over to Grandma's house.
Stop it. Stop talking. Oh my God.
It's 99.7 DJX.
Spoiled Grandma's house.
Well, yes. Yes, I did. You're right. If you missed anything from the website or from the show, you can always catch up on the website, is what I meant to say. WDJX.com. Today is a big day because Britney Spears' memoir comes out. I feel like we've already seen every single bombshell that could possibly be in it. But
That makes me think, like, what else?
What else
is in there? I guess we're just expanding on the bombshells that we know. And then it also means that the Daily Mail has unearthed the audition from 21 years ago where she was almost, was it Allie, the role that Rachel McAdams played in The Notebook opposite Ryan Gosling?
And she was almost cast as that role.
And the casting director, like, called her phenomenal, said that she beat out all of these other major actresses at the time. Like, it came down to her and Rachel McAdams. She was in at least top three for getting this role. But for the record, Britney didn't want it. She was glad that she ended up not getting it because she realized that she dove a little too hard into the method acting.
Oh,
and
right.
Didn't quite really understand how to separate living as the character to going back to being herself.
Channeling her relationship with Jason Alexander.
Probably. The husband she was married to for 55 hours.
Probably.
I don't think that
was the case.
Probably not a motivator.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, yeah, you can see that story and anything else you may have missed up at WDJX.com. And a quick reminder, just to, if you've got someone special in your life, make sure you let them know today. I'm always reminded on this day today specifically because one of my good friends was murdered, actually, 7 years ago today. So it's just one of those yearly reminders that, hey, you know what? If you've got someone in your life, make sure that you say you love them and you're thinking of them and you care for them and all that stuff. Don't wait until it's too late, you know, because we're never guaranteed tomorrow. So just take advantage of all that stuff today. All right.
Absolutely. Call your mom. Call your dad.
And it is my mom's birthday, too. So, yes, I do need to
call. Call your mom.
Call my mom.
Call your mom.
Okay. Happy birthday, mom. Oh, gosh. All right. Guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.